Good morning and welcome to our site as we continue our expositions in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. So if you have a Bible handy, and I hope you do, would you please turn now to the letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4, and so today we finish our exposition of chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, if you have it there in your Bible. Otherwise, listen as we hear the word of God together. The Apostle Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Then across to verse 11, "It was he," that is the ascended Christ, "who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Just so far, and may God bless our time together as we expound, particularly verses 11, 12, and 13. Of Ephesians chapter 4. I have entitled our sermon today, "Ministries That Mature and Multiply." Ministries that mature and multiply. One thing is for sure, dear friends, Christ is building his church, the community of his redeemed people, and the gates of death and hell will not prevail against the advance of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how does the head of the church, Jesus, build his church? Well, you can be sure of this. God never builds without a foundation. And unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain, says the proverb. Here's the story then. Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, our Redeemer, is the chief cornerstone of the building, the church. He anchors the whole building, and he builds his church on the ministries of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. And he appoints pastors and elders to shepherd each congregation, and deacons to serve each congregation. And he gifts every single member of the congregation for ministry, ministry to the Lord, ministry to the body, ministry to the world. I'd like to repeat that because it's so important. God never builds without a foundation, and he certainly doesn't build his church in the world without foundational ministries. Jesus Christ, Paul says, is the chief cornerstone of this building. He uses the metaphor building, and he interchanges often the word body for the church and building. And so Jesus Christ, Paul teaches, is the chief cornerstone. He anchors the whole building, which is his church, the community of Christ followers in the world. And he builds his church on the ministries of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, and he appoints pastors and elders to shepherd each congregation, and deacons to serve each congregation. And he gifts every single member of the congregation for ministry to the Lord, ministry to the body, the church, and ministry to the world. Now that's quite a mouthful, so let's unpack it little by little. Christ himself, the Apostle Paul teaches, is the chief cornerstone of this building, which is God's church. And the foundation is laid by gifted people. And don't be scared or sidetracked by these words that the Apostle Paul uses in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. Christ builds his church on the ministry of apostles, Paul says, verse 11. Apostles are those who are gifted by God in the establishing and extending of the kingdom of God through the local church. Apostles are people gifted by God in establishing and extending the kingdom of God through the local church or local churches around the world. Apostles are basically sent ones. That's what the Greek word means in the original. They are pioneer missionary types, sent by God with giftings in planting and overseeing congregations, churches, that can reproduce themselves and multiply. That was Paul's gifting. He's a great example of an apostle sent by God to the Jews and to the Gentiles to establish, to plant churches, congregations, wherever he went, through the preaching and ministry of the Christian gospel, and overseeing them to maturity. That was also Peter's gifting. Theirs was an apostolic ministry. It was a foundational ministry. The church is built on the foundation of apostolic ministries. This is enshrined in the great creeds of Christendom. We believe in one holy Catholic, that means general or universal, apostolic church. There's nothing static about this. Christ builds his church through apostolic ministries, people whom he gifts to plant churches and prevail, churches that reproduce themselves. Apostles then are sent people, sent by God, and they are gifted by God to bring sending churches into being. They are sending churches, always sending. That's part of what it means to be apostolic. A New Testament church is an apostolic or missional church. You don't judge a church by its seating capacity, dear friend. You judge it by its sending capacity. How many people is it sending into the world with the gospel? Sending into the world to plant new churches and establish them. An apostolic church is not a church that merely supports missions then. It is a church on mission with God from its Jerusalem, its home base, to the ends of the earth, constantly thrusting out laborers into the harvest field. An apostolic or missional church is a congregation of God's people who've taken ownership of the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes it apostolic in nature and function. Let me be clear here, we're not talking about the 12 apostles mentioned in the Gospels. We're not talking here about the apostles' doctrine or the apostolic message of the gospel. That was established once and for all by the end of the first century. What we're saying is that still today, churches are founded on the apostolic gospel and are to be apostolic in nature and function. They are to be missional. From their Jerusalem, their local church base, they are to send people to ever-widening groups of unreached people. And those with apostolic giftings are vital in that process, extending, establishing the kingdom of God through planting, overseeing, and multiplying local churches. That's the apostolic gift in action, and it is foundational as Jesus builds his church. 1 Corinthians 12:28, Paul says, "And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles." Ephesians 4:11, "It was Christ who gave some to be apostles." People like John Wesley, who established the Methodist Church, multiplied, congregations that multiplied under his amazing apostolic gifting. Hudson Taylor taking the gospel to China, Carey taking the gospel to India. These people with their apostolic missional giftings, advancing and extending, building and multiplying the Church of Jesus Christ through the giftings that God had given them. But apostles are never alone. God does not build his church on lone rangers. He always builds with a plurality of leadership. And so, as we look at the next word in verse 11, what is it there? Do you have it? Prophets. Now again, prophet is not just an office or a title. It's a term that, like the title or term apostle, is dynamically descriptive of one who is gifted by God to declare the word of the Lord under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In essence, a prophet is someone who hears from God and speaks his word into specific situations. Sometimes that word may be for the whole church, sometimes for an individual, sometimes relating to a circumstance or a city or even a nation. And sometimes it may have a futuristic or predictive element, but most often it is forthtelling rather than foretelling. A prophet is one who speaks the word of God under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It can be an element of preaching, and often is. But in the assembly or the church service, as Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12 through to 14, it is a gift given to many of God's people to encourage, to instruct, to build up, to strengthen God's people. Again, prophets do not function in isolation, but with the other giftings, the other ministries that are foundational to the building of Christ's church in the world. And so we come to the term evangelists in verse 11. It was the ascended Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists. Now, what is an evangelist? An evangelist is one who shares the good news about Christ. Now, there are those who are uniquely gifted by the head of the church and empowered by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel of Christ and reap a harvest of souls. They are evangelists, uniquely gifted by the Holy Spirit at bringing in the harvest. Sometimes one-on-one, sometimes to small groups, or sometimes great numbers. But evangelists are those who are gifted by God in sharing the gospel, bringing people to a decision for Christ, making disciples through the preaching or sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, they don't work in isolation either. They are crucial to the foundation ministries that build the church of the Lord Jesus. They are gifted in winning new converts to Christ and bringing them into the church, the local community of believers. But there, God has gifted another foundational ministry. It's the word teacher, teachers. Paul, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, then teachers, third, teachers. Ephesians 4, 12, pastors and teachers. Those who are gifted to instruct Christ followers in the truth of Christ, not just to inform, but to transform, to make disciples, that is, pupils, learners, who in turn can make other disciples. That's the ministry of the teacher, imparting the truth of God and the anointing and enabling of the Holy Spirit in such a way that those who have come to Christ in conversion are built up in Christ as they're established in the doctrines of the church, the truths of the Word of God. These gifts are foundational to the building of the church, the maturing and equipping of the followers of Jesus, for their work of building up the whole body to a position of strength and completeness. Then we need to mention another gift, a gift that really only the last few decades has come into its own in the evangelical church. It's the gift or ministry that Paul mentions in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, the ministry of leadership, the gift or ministry of leadership. If a person is gifted to lead, says the apostle to the Roman church, let him lead. Apostles will always have a leadership gifting. Christ does not want a leaderless church or a leaderless congregation. Leaderless churches will never prevail. And so God gifts some with the gift of giving direction, of bringing people onto God's agenda. That's really what the gift of leadership is. It's the special ability given by God the Holy Spirit to people who are able to bring God's people onto his agenda and lead God's people in the center of his will. That's spiritual leadership, bringing people onto God's agenda for their lives, bringing congregations onto God's agenda for the life of the congregation. And that gift is crucial in the advance of the kingdom of God. And then the apostle mentions pastors. The word pastor, bishop, elder is used interchangeably by the apostle Paul. As we look at the foundational ministries of the growing of God's church, pastors and elders, those who basically are shepherds of the flock, they are equipped by God to oversee the local church and all of its ministries. And what a wonderful gift that is, the gift of pastor, of elder, of bishop. God gifts people to be shepherds of the flock, to feed the flock of God, to shepherd the flock of God, to pastor God's people so that they're built to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the gifts, the ministries that mature and multiply the Church of Jesus. It was Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? Verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so then, as we come to a close, all the members of the body of Christ, the local church, every Christian is uniquely related to Christ as head, uniquely endowed by the Holy Spirit with giftings, and uniquely united to the rest of the family of God in the local congregation. May we never forget that we're all members of the same body of Christ as Christians, and we're all uniquely related not only to Christ, our living head, and to the Holy Spirit who gives us these ministries, but we are uniquely related to each other, and we will never mature and multiply as congregations under the mighty hand of God until we recognize that the Holy Spirit is given to every believer to gift them for ministry, ministry to the Lord and ministry to the body, ministry to the world. We're not independent. We are always interdependent. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member rejoices, all the members should rejoice with that member, for we are members of one another. You can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your family, and we are family in the local church. Every gifted member of the body needs every other gifted member of the body. Members who absent themselves from the body deprive and hurt the body. I need what you have been given by God, and you need what I have been given by God. We need each other desperately. We need each other more than most Christians realize. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifestations of the life and ministry of the Holy Spirit of Jesus for the whole body. Now, a proper understanding of these gifts of the Holy Spirit, these ministries imparted by the Holy Spirit to the congregation, will enable us then to not only maintain unity, but celebrate our diversity and attain maturity and multiply. And here's the point. These gifts that are given by God to His church, the gifts of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and deacons and people who do all kinds of ministry within the local church, they're all designed for the glory of God to bring us to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ, because only as a mature church will we multiply. And these gifts are given not to entertain us or to make us feel good. They're given so that we will mature and reproduce, that we will not only mature but multiply. And so remember, lambs cannot give birth to lambs. Only mature sheep can give birth to lambs. And the business of the Church of Jesus Christ in the world is to be brought to maturity through these ministries that God has given to the church, so that the church, coming to maturity, can multiply more and more, so that more and more congregations can be established, overseen, brought to maturity, and sent out into the world, so that we constantly are multiplying. Thank God that He has given His church ministries that both multiply, mature, and multiply. Now, as we face this challenge this morning, where are we in relation to what God is saying to us today? Do we have a correct understanding of these foundational ministries that are crucial to the advance of God's kingdom on earth through His church? Do we really understand the missional gifting of apostles? Do we understand the unique gifting of prophets, those whom God gifts to speak His word under inspiration of the Holy Spirit? People like Nicholas Bengu, who in the Eastern Cape and border areas in the 50s and early 60s was able to speak the word of God so powerfully under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What a prophet Nicholas Bengu was among the Xhosa people of his day, there in the border area of East London, in the Eastern Cape in South Africa. What a prophet of God. People like Michael Cassidy, whom the Lord has used to be a prophetic voice to South Africa. So many others that could be mentioned. Perhaps Angus Buchan today is being used by God to have a prophetic voice into this nation. Oh God, give us more and more missional types who have an apostolic ministry for advancing the kingdom of God, planting and overseeing, supervising, and seeing to the maturing and multiplication of churches, and prophetic people who will speak the word under inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that lives are transformed and even nations can be rescued, like God used John Wesley in his day to rescue Britain from going down the tubes. And people who have an evangelistic ministry, people like Billy Graham or so many others who are gifted by God to bring in a harvest of souls. How we need them so desperately today, Lord. And people who are pastors and teachers, people who will prepare God's people for works of service so that the whole body of Christ may be built to maturity and multiply. Friend, have you discovered your gifting? Have you developed your gifting? Are you deploying your gifting? That is the vital issue. God grows His church through ministries or gifts, the enabling of the Holy Spirit, that enables the church, each local congregation, to advance to maturity and to multiply. May it be so today as never before, as we ask, come Holy Spirit, come Lord Jesus, come Heavenly Father, and build your church in such a dynamic way that indeed the gates of hell will not prevail against her advance. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you for these dynamic ministries that the Holy Spirit gives to the church, enabling the community of your people to grow to maturity and to multiply. We pray in these days for a mighty spiritual awakening that will bring the church all over the world to the realization that you have lavishly gifted your church with ministries that will both build your people to full maturity in Christ and so enable them to reproduce and multiply. May it be so for your glory. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.
Every eye and heart shall see Him.